to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And it's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening today. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We are on iHeartRadio Talk, Head Radio MD, and You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. To the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk, go to iHeartRadio.com and download the app or use it on the web. You click Talk on the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and welcome into iHeartRadio Talk. Hi, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe. What do you think? Should they remove the top bar on bicycles?
I speak from experience. Well, I don't have that. I can't say what I experience when I ride a bike. I freeze. Do you know what I mean?
You freeze. No, I don't know what that
means. See, Bridget knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no idea. That's why I'm laughing.
I get numb.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you get a numb seat.
I get a numb...
We won't call them that.
I get numb. That's all I'm going to say it.
Even when you have a comfortable bike seat?
Yeah.
Like, you can buy really nice ones now that are super padded and stuff. Maybe that would help.
Yeah, probably so. But, I mean, if I'm on a bike for a long period of time, it starts to, you know, it's like I've had a shot of Novocaine in that area. Why, are they thinking about taking out...
No, when you look at the danger of it, there were 42,000 bike injuries, but more than in the last 10 years, but more than in urology, that is urologic involving your private parts, so to speak, Joe, but almost all of them, not almost all, 60% of them involved the top bar on the bicycle. And so it seems to me, why do we even have a top bar?
Because one is for boys, one is for girls.
Well, the girls get injured on that top bar more than anything, too.
I'm not going to ride a girly bike.
How about if we had a lower bar?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I have a friend who does that.
It would look stylish as well as leave you with your manhood.
I have a friend who does a lot of biking, a lot of long trips on bikes, and I asked him about the numbness in the area when you're biking, and he said it happens, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, and for people that do it all the time, I think they just get used to it.
Yeah, that could be. It happens, so...
I biked the MS 150-mile bike tour to raise money for multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. and it was the most painful experience of my entire life. I did it, like, 5 years ago, and I'll never...
Why was it painful?
Yeah, why was it painful?
Because, it was physically exhausting. I fell asleep at one of the rest stops, like, laying in the grass because I got so tired. But also because it was my bike seat was so painful.
The bike seat pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even get that, you know, Joe, when I use the bike while I'm exercising, a stationary bike, mm-hmm. I even get that bike seat soreness too.
Right.
Anyway, I think they should take the top bar off bikes.
Okay.
So that's my contribution to preventing genitourinary injuries.
We're going to talk about brain power, boosting brain power at 35 minutes after the hour with our guest. What do you know about Dr. Majid Fatouhi?
Majid Fatouhi was chief of the brain area at Hopkins. That is the brain area where they talked about preserving memory, and has done groundbreaking research in this area. He is the smartest guy I know on brain health and improving your brain health. He's going to talk about why the hippocampus is so important, why brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor is called fertilizer for your brain. And we'll put some tough questions to him if you want to send us questions. Of course, it's udocs, youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. and we'll ask him some tough questions.
Yep, that's our guest at 30 minutes, 35 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike with a Real Age Tip before the end of the hour here. Again, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. On the phone, 877-711-5211. New study says technology is driving hospital costs more than uninsured patients. What are the details?
Well, this is a study in Texas where they went to look at what was the drivers of increased costs for hospitals, and that is what was driving it. So it was technology, not uninsured patients. Texas has the most uninsured, highest uninsured population. So this study went out to find out whether it was these uninsured patients and caring for them. But this was not the cost. What it was more than half of the observed price increases with hospital patient market characteristics were in fact related to technology. And so he reviewed the data from 2000 to 2007, and he said that two-thirds of the increase can be explained in increases in the cost of care, which reflect the growth and use of more advanced technology, such as different medications and different preparation, different, if you will, devices.
And insurance companies are slow to cover them initially. It usually takes some time before insurance companies say, okay, we'll cover this and we'll cover that.
Correct. But yeah, the hospital finds a way of putting it into the rate of those patients nevertheless.
Okay, the health exchange has started this week, Dr. Mike, under the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of problems that this Obamacare this week, pretty contentious.
Well, you know, you and I were on the phone if you will, WSYR on Tuesday. I think it's at 7:48 or so. And so at 7:09 and at 7:19 and again at 7:29, I logged on to healthcare.gov. And it worked perfectly. And then I logged on to the New York State. It directs you. It says what state are you from or where are you seeking coverage. I logged on to New York State. It had about a 5-minute delay, but it worked perfectly too. And I was able, if I wanted to, I could have signed up for insurance right there. I mean, it took me through the whole process very well. So I was really impressed with the system.
Yeah, no technology is expected to be perfect on day one, but there are still some problems in some areas. What they're not doing, though, which I found was interesting, they're not doing background checks to certify income. So a person could lie, make a lot of money, and still get help, and
well,
fraud could be rampant.
I thought they automatically go back to... I thought they check with your... And this is my misunderstanding, but I thought they check with your IRS statement.
No, they're not. They're not verifying background checks. Now, they've had some time to work on this. I think, you know, this Obamacare has been in the works now for at least a couple of years. I mean, that's something that I think they probably should have worked out. Even the exchanges, people are still having problems logging on and the fraud. A lot of scamming going on, which is typical for scamming to go on. But it would seem that if they know the date is coming, you know, October 1st, 2013, that they would have all this, all this technology in place. And again, no technology is expected to be perfect on day one. But again, there are still some issues here, and people are having a difficult time. And again, in New York State, because we have a lot of people here in New York State. Now, California has the most number of uninsured people, but we here in New York State have more people trying to log on than any other state of the country.
Did you try and log on, Joe?
No, I didn't.
I was really impressed at how well it worked for me. So I was as opposed to the news stories, which would have said it's impossible to log on, when I actually went there and tried to do it, it worked pretty darn well.
Well, USA Today said after 2 p.m. that people were told that the system was down for the moment.
I want to ask about a couple of other things with the problem in Washington. There's this government shutdown that's still on, and it's a lot over the Affordable Care Act. A couple issues. Maybe you can give me a couple of answers to questions I have. And again, if anybody has any questions for Dr. Mike, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Are we in the flu season, Dr. Mike?
Well, we're just starting it. When I looked at the Google Flu Trends, which is this great system for looking at flu, it is now creeping up. And it's just in between the, you know, the, where would you call it, the low? Let me just refresh it. It's in between the low and the moderate. I looked at the whole world, and Russia is in an epidemic of flu. They must not give flu shots in Russia. But they have incredible high level. They have levels that are now higher than the highest level we ever have, if you look at it. And it's early in the season. I mean, it is intense in Russia. And if you look at our southern neighbors who would have had it in the period of time we didn't, Brazil had a mild season. They have, meaning they have it before we do. Brazil had a mild season. I followed Brazil and Chile. Chile had a very active season. And, of course, China, there is no good data out of China, so we can't use that. But we can use Japan, where immunizations are fairly active. And it's at a very low level now compared to last year. And we're at a low level, if you said, based on where we are now, how is the United States flu season going to be? It actually looks like it's between one of the two worst flu seasons we've ever had. So get your shots. And this is especially important because the CDC said because of the government shutdown, it may run out of some flu vaccine by the end of October. Mm. Now, I don't know whether that was a rumor or whether that was a true CDC release, but I saw that on Wednesday of the week and did not see it retracted. So, Joe, you've got to explain this to me. I heard that the Congress passed a bill that pays everyone on furlough. So all those people who are government employees who aren't working now are on a paid vacation. Is that it?
Well, it's retroactive.
Why don't we get them to work so that we can get the flu vaccine and we can get the health, safety, and food again?
Why don't we have the same insurance that they have?
Yeah.
Well, Joe, let's just at least get them back to work. I don't get it. I mean, food safety is being compromised. Our immunization system's being compromised. Our surveillance, the kids getting emergency treatment and treatment for cancer at NIH is getting compromised, and they still get paid. Why do we bother closing anything down?
Why do we bother voting them all back in again?
They
have an incumbency rate, guys, of 97%. We put them all back in office, and they know that, and they just sit on their butts because they realize if they're there for any amount of time, they're going to get reelected and sent back to office. But who's going to accept the compromise? Who's going to back down? The president, he doesn't want to negotiate. How can he get a solution if he doesn't want to negotiate?
Well, he doesn't want to negotiate where they want him to negotiate. He'll negotiate on other things. He just doesn't want to get the Affordable Care Act negotiated away.
Right. I know that. But how many doctors will still participate, Dr. Mike? I mean, how long will these doctors participate? What level of care? This all goes into effect. Now, the exchanges, you sign up for them now, but the healthcare starts January 1st. How many doctors will still stay in the program? What level of care will we be getting, and will it take weeks to see a doctor?
Joe, I don't think that many doctors will drop out. I think over the next 3 years, next 4 or 5 years, you may see a radical change in healthcare. Where the reimbursement rates go way down for hospitals, but stay the same for physicians. And if that's the case, most physicians, I think, will stay in the process. If, on the other hand, the reimbursement rates for physicians go way down as well, then you will see physicians dropping out. But I see a real change in the way hospitals are paid. But not as much the way physicians get paid. Now, of course, hospitals have much stronger lobbying groups and much stronger power than physicians. So as the healthcare reform law gets changed, all that may change. But as of now, I think concierge care will increase, which is the gives everybody in the concierge program rapid access. But we expect that to go down as the Cadillac programs get taxed next year. And it's only in 3 to 5 years that it will rebound. We expect the middle portion of society, which has been paid for by employers such as Clear Channel. You can sign up for your insurance through Clear Channel. I can through the Cleveland Clinic. we expect that in some areas, like Walgreens did, Trader Joe's did, some of those companies where they consider their employees that they can get employees other ways, meaning they're not in short groups, they may drop medical insurance and give people a partial payment for getting on the exchange. So, in fact, I saw the story that Trader Joe's had excellent insurance for its part-time people. When they logged on to the exchange, it was going to cost $6,000 a year. But Trader Joe's was giving each person only $4,000 a year to sign on. So we expect, if that's true, there will be a $4,000 program, and that program will reimburse physicians and hospitals less, so you will have some dropout. How big that dropout is from those programs depends on the variability in whether they reimburse physicians much lower than they reimburse them now.
Something they're also not sure about are insurance deductibles. Those aren't definite. Policy costs may go down, but deductible costs may go up. And if that's the case, some people could get hosed. They're not really sure how that what'll happen in that area.
That's exactly right. And you know, medical costs are still the second largest cause of bankruptcy in the United States, personal bankruptcy. So people without insurance having this should help a lot of people from the standpoint the uninsured, but it may, by those extra deductibles and extra costs, make the situation overall worse.
All right, lots of questions, and we still need to get answers. Before we go to the break, and our guest, is it safe to store food in takeout containers? Who knows?
Well, this is a very interesting story, if you will, that the goal would be to seal it, to not let air in. So one of the things that your hard plastic containers do that you store, or your glass containers that have a top, is they decrease the flow of air in, so bacteria can't thrive when you put it in the refrigerator. So that's one thing that is missing in those takeout containers. The second thing that you're concerned about is what's on the liner, and some of the liner leaking into the food. That's much worse with acid-containing foods. So if your food has a vinegar dressing on it or something like that, or much worse. But in general, the message was it's fairly safe, but better yet, move it to a glass container. Better yet, if you're going to keep it in the takeout containers, put it in a plastic bag and tie the plastic bag tight.
I've heard
Bridget, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you pretty much covered that.
I've also heard that it's not a good thing, Dr. Mike, to buy a can that's dented.
Yeah, the reason that was is it was thought that Clostridium tetanus could multiply, tetanus toxin could be there, and you would get tetanus toxin. The good news is we all get a immunization, if you will, we try and combat it, and you heat it, but that's right, dented containers, and I don't know the reality of that. Bridget?
I don't know the reality of that either.
Joe, do you know the reality?
Not really. No, I don't. We'll have to maybe look that up and get back to that. We have our guest next, and we'll find out how to boost our brain power. The author of the book of Boost Your Brain, Dr. Majid Fatoui. And we'll all increase our brain power next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world.
It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, thank you for listening today. I'm Joe Galuski, along with Dr. Mike Royce, and our guest is Dr. Majid Fatouhi. He received his medical degree from Harvard Medical School and his doctoral PhD in neuroscience from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He's the founder and chief medical officer of the NeuroExpand Brain Center. And we're about to talk about his book. Dr. Fatouhi's book is called Boost Your Brain, The New Art and Science, The New Art and Science Behind Enhanced Brain Performance. Thank you for coming on today. So how long does the brain continue to grow, and how long does the brain continue to assimilate information, take in information effectively?
First of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. The important new discovery in our field is that our brain has the capacity to grow at any age. The best time for the brain to grow is obviously during childhood, but people in midlife or even late life can indeed increase their brain size and benefit improved cognitive performance.
Here's Dr. Mike. Let's bring Dr. Mike. Okay, here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
So, Majid, first of all, I thank you for coming on. You are, as I've said before on the show and as I tweeted earlier, you are the best in this area in the whole world. So I appreciate it, and this is a A magnificent, magnificent book. And in fact, as I said, this book may be the most important anyone ever reads, because your brain is what really matters and it's what differentiates us. The other thing I wanted to, if you will, ask about was the what role, what you call fertilizer for the brain, brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, plays in this.
Yes, there's a compound called BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is very important for healing and rejuvenation in the brain. It has lots of benefits, and recent research shows that we can actually increase levels of BDNF in our brain. You may have heard of runner's high and how enkephalins are induced and released in the brain when people exercise or run for a long time. In the same idea, in the same way, BDNF increases in many different ways, one of which is, and so I think it's important for people to recognize that there are ways they can boost their brain activity by increasing BDNF levels.
Now, the and when you increase the size of the hippocampus in the brain, do we have good data that that's caused by brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, or are these independent data? And is there anything we can do other than, or what should we do to increase the brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor? I mean, to me, this is exciting. Will it be in a pill form pretty soon, or is it going to always be better to release our own, and how do we release our own?
Yeah, these are excellent questions. Studies have shown that when people exercise, there's a good correlation between increased fitness and increased size of the memory part of the brain, which is called hippocampus. So the more exercise a person does, the bigger the hippocampus gets. And that parallels improved memory. So more exercise, bigger hippocampus, better memory.
Well, how, meaning, is do you ever hit a maximum on exercise? In other words, when I look at exercise from a longevity standpoint, you get a maximum after about, it's roughly, when you do more than 2 hours in a day, you start to go downhill in longevity. Is that true? I mean, is there a maximum you hit in with hippocampal size, or have we not studied it carefully enough?
Measuring the size of hippocampus and realizing that the size changes is actually something very new. Many studies have shown that some exercise is a lot better than no exercise in terms of improved brain function and size of hippocampus, and that more exercise, for example, 45 minutes, is better than 15 minutes. But there's no evidence that 2 hours of intense exercise is better than 1 hour, and that has been shown, not necessarily with the BDNF level, but with other measures of brain function. So my recommendation to people is 45 minutes, 3 or 4 days a week. And that would be 30 minutes of aerobic and 50 minutes of resistance training. Now back to BDNF.
Wait, I missed that. So how much a day of aerobic did you say per week?
I reviewed the literature because I wanted to know what is the perfect amount, what is a reasonable amount and scientifically based recommendations that we can make to our patients. And having reviewed the literature, I came up with 45 minutes, 4 days a week. And of that, I would recommend 30 minutes of aerobic exercise and 15 minutes of resistance training. You may have heard of high-intensity interval training or HIIT.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's some evidence that this kind of high-intensity interval training where you do 60 seconds of intense exercise and then 60 seconds of rest and 60 seconds of intense exercise, and you do this cycle 5 or 10 times, there are specific benefits that you gain from that as opposed to just doing 10 minutes of regular exercise. And there's at least one study that showed that that part of that kind of training enhances brain function, not necessarily the size of hippocampus.
Well, I'm glad of that because I do that every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. I do intervals. So
yeah.
Now there are also our brain games on TV. Do they release brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, or does stress inhibit it? What do we know about those two and the relative value of those?
Yeah. Now, let's talk about cognitive training and these video games and other types of memory-stimulating games. They have benefits for brain through increasing the number of synapses. Several studies have shown that when, for example, animals learn new games, there are increased number of synapses. And there is also evidence that with increased training and learning, animals have higher levels of BDNF. So, you know, stimulating your brain is another way of increasing levels of BDNF. But my recommendation to people is, if you want to have the best memory when you get to your 70s and 80s, then focus on exercises that challenge your memory. For example, I tell my patients and my friends to memorize 3 or 5 names a day. Your hippocampus is the part of the brain that shrinks the most with aging. And one of the best ways to stimulate your hippocampus is actually with memorizing things. So while you can do a video games where you have to go through a path and watch out so you won't hit the walls, or you have to, you know, navigate through space, those are all good. But if you want to have good memory in the long term, focus on memorized names. So that goes, you know, sort of. So I think that brain stimulation should be targeted to the areas that will have the best benefits in the long term, and memorizing names will be a good way. You know, like these days, we don't memorize phone numbers anymore. In the old days, that was one thing that people used to do. And with a new generation of kids growing up, we don't even teach them to memorize poems or long verses or anything. And I worry that
When we come back, we're going to talk more about the relative roles of memory, that is memorizing things, of brain games that have different functions, such as Twister or ping pong, about intense exercise and stress relief, and which are most important to us if we can only do a few. And then we're also going to talk about other techniques. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, Dr. Majid Fatouhi. His book is called Boost Your Brain. It's published by HarperCollins. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And with our guest, Dr. Majid Fatouhi. His book is called Boost Your Brain, published by HarperCollins. Here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
And this is young Dr. Mike. I was asking Dr. Fatouhi in the break, and I thought it was good for all of us, the relative value of physical activity versus meditation or stress relief versus, for example, playing brain games or doing crossword puzzles. And Majid, what do you think the relative value of those things are?
Yes, I think if we were to set a scale in terms of what's most important and what's least important and give a number to it from 1 to 10, let's say, exercise would be 8 or 9. Stress reduction would be 8. And then eating a healthy diet would be 6. And then doing video games or computer games would be 2. If you have only 30 minutes or 1 hour and you want to do something to keep your brain young, I recommend that you hit the gym. If you're already exercising and that's not an issue, I'll recommend that you work on stress reduction, make sure you get a good night's sleep. Two factors that are really bad for the brain are sleep apnea and insomnia. Both of them are treatable conditions. So if you have those, make sure you take care of those and get a good night's sleep, 7 hours, 8 hours, and to make sure you don't snore at night. If you do, that it's not sleep apnea.
Now, let me go and ask you a couple. We've got a couple questions on the email line, so I want to get these in. And one of them pertains to sleep apnea, and I like the question because it pertains to me, too. That is, I took a red eye the other night. This questioner asked Bob, and he said, the next day I feel lousy when because I don't sleep well on the plane. I sleep pretty well on the plane, but I still feel lousy, personally. But Bob says he sleeps lousy on the plane, and he seems to recover his memory and other functions 2 days later, but not immediately. does he really recover, or how bad does that do?
Yes. If you miss a night of sleep and you don't function well the next day, there's nothing to worry about because it's just an isolated event, unless you travel like some people I know 200 days a week, 200 days a year. If it's just occasional travels, then that's fine. But it also makes the point that if you can't think clearly and if your memory is not working, you should check to see how well you have been sleeping. I also feel the same way. When I travel, then when I come back home, for a couple of days, I'm not quite back to my usual self yet.
Here's another question. This gets us into diet. Pam writes, a recent book, Grain Brain, by Dr. David Perlmutter, advocates a ketogenic diet extremely low in carbs and high in protein, especially fat. Avocados, coconut oil, God, that's horrible. Olive oil, for example. So at least avocados, walnut oil, olive oil are okay to prevent, and fish oils, to prevent Alzheimer's. What is your opinion of this type of diet for brain health, and how would this type of diet impact heart health and general health? Thank you, Pam.
Yes. The diet I recommend is called Mediterranean diet. This is a diet that is high in fruits and vegetables. It does contain olive oil, one glass of wine, and it is low in carbs. And so I recommend Mediterranean diet. I really like DHA, omega-3 fatty acid, as a supplement. DHA is really the best brain food there is. I take it, and some members take it. So the kind of diet I recommend is a heart-healthy diet, low sodium, low carbs, high in protein, low in red meat, high in fish such as salmon, lots of fruits and vegetables. That's what we do in our own home, Mike. You know, my wife always has lots of fruits and vegetables, fruits on the table. So as we pass, by the table, we just grab an apple or some grapes or a banana or something. And when I go to work, she gives me, a banana for snack and some pistachios. So it's important for people to have common sense. Just have things that you know are good for you. I don't necessarily recommend extremes of such as going to a ketogenic diet. We use that at extreme cases for example, kids who have epilepsy, but I wouldn't recommend that to...
Okay, so that brings up fish oils, DHA, and flavonoids, and lutein and zeaxanthine. Anything in those? And forgive me for asking some things that I know the answers to because I did read the book, but go ahead and talk about them.
Yes. So flavonoids are excellent. There are about 1,000 different flavonoids, but these are usual fruits and vegetables that we routinely talk about and eat. You know, some of the things that I recommend, and it's on page 91 of my book, are beets because they're also high in folate and nitrite. We have other blueberries that are good, but pomegranate is actually a good source of vitamins, such as vitamin C and vitamin K. Oysters are good in terms of having a lot of minerals. Quinoa is one of my favorites. You know, instead of rice, I use quinoa, and it's much lower in carb and high in protein. Canola oil, I recommend, and that's my favorite pistachios. And if you want to take a little snack or get a drink for an afternoon, I recommend herbal tea. Theanine and EGCG is also very good.
Why not my old favorite, black coffee? Is that wrong?
Yes, Mike. My recommendation for coffee is one or maximum two cups of coffee a day. Many studies have shown...
Oh, man, that's done before I'm awake.
Several studies have looked at people who drink coffee versus don't. On an average, people who do drink coffee have better outcomes in the long term versus those who don't drink at all. However, caffeine increases your heart rate, and it does stimulate you. And so while it's good for you, I would not recommend to drink one cup an hour. Instead, my recommendation would be one cup in the morning and then maybe a cup of tea in the afternoon. This is not sort of the same level of recommendation as exercise. You know, again, to put things in perspective, and I think it's very important that people put things in perspective. And in my book, I have made it like a brain meter, and for every recommendation, we have it on a brain meter so people can put things in perspective. What's the most important? What's the least important? So drinking a glass of wine...
There's a quick question I want to get in, if you will, on nitrates. Sure. On nitrites. Are nitrites good because they dilate the blood vessels or for other reasons?
Yes, they increase... They relax the walls of the blood vessels and increase blood flow to the brain.
The book, a great book, Boost Your Brain by Fatui, F-O-T-U-H-I. Majid has been on. We have to have you back on again. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.